What's going on, Badger Nation? Welcome to the PPC Den podcast, the home of the world's first and longest running show all about Amazon advertising to make your Amazon PPC life a little bit easier and a little bit more profitable. Today, what a treat. I just finished up my conversation with Destiny from Better Media, and it's a great one. I think Destiny and I have been doing this for quite some time. We've had such tremendous, wonderful episodes. And I really like the conversation that we had today. It was very loose. It was unstructured. We talked about, should you build an in-house team, work with a contractor, use a software, hire an agency? We talked about how Amazon advertising has changed over the last few years. And if you want to get deeper and more intimate with the landscape of growing on Amazon, I think this will definitely help you get perspective into what it means to advertise on Amazon in 2024, and hopefully provide you with some context so that you can continue your growth journey on Amazon. Have a good one, and let's jump in.
I've launched campaigns and picked keywords. I've got my bits, set placements too. Now bad mistakes.
Destiny, I'm curious, you talk to a lot of people, probably through LinkedIn messaging, through email, you talk to your team, you talk to clients, prospects, you talk to a lot of different people. It's February 22nd, 2024. What, has there been a theme that's come up over the last few weeks of issues that you heard people having, advice that you want to give people that you think would be beneficial to improve their campaigns?
Whew, that's a fun one. You know, historically, you go back, we've been podcasting for probably 4 years together, and you go back, and I think some of the topics we've talked about is bid management, ad type expansion. I believe we talked about like negating keywords, and we've gotten really deep in the weeds. And it's because at the time, I feel like Amazon advertising was a lot more simple to manage, that we could back in and have a deep conversation around the core strategies of success with Amazon, right? Ad types, structure, optimization. I think, in my opinion, one of the biggest difficulties I'm seeing across the board, whether it's through content creation or auditing brands, is it's gotten so much more complex. So it's like this 80-20 balance. Like at the end of the day, structure and optimization are still the core that's going to drive success for you. But all the other problems that brands used to have, whether it was attribution, is now solved by AMC. Whether it was category insights, it's now being somewhat solved by brand metrics. If it's creative utilization, we now have video and sponsor display and custom images and all of these different things. So I would say like the biggest problem I'm seeing is brands don't know how to identify their problems and then find the appropriate solution because the complexity has increased tenfold.
What you just described, I sometimes like to refer to as marketing myopia or like marketing nearsightedness, where essentially there's been an explosion of information. And I would say we've been part of that, of really clear focus on a lot of technical components, just like you mentioned. And you can see an individual thing right in front of you, like how to structure top of search bidding to maximize a particular technical thing. And that's really clear to you. But then like the things to the left and right of that, the things above, below, and behind that in this, you know, three-dimensional landscape can sometimes become very fuzzy. I see that a lot where people are just like, hey, really almost obsessed with one particular component and miss a lot of other things. I call that marketing myopia. Do you think that's a good name for it?
I think it's better than your tacos reproduction, recreation. Not to get into that. No, I do think it's correct. And I think I made a post the other day on, you know, what are the pros and cons of software versus in-house team versus managed service? And the reason I made that post was actually, I would say, because of this reason. We audit a ton of brands who are managing in-house. And something that we see is they're focusing on the wrong thing, right? They come to me and they say, you know, my only goal is scale. And then they follow up with, I want a 10% ACoS. Or they come to me and say, you know, my only goal is profitability. And then I go into their campaigns and they're absolutely hemorrhaging and running view CPM, right? Or something along those lines. And I think like that's why it's so important to understand the context, which is something you and I have always done really well. Like you go to the internet and you'll see a guru posting 3% ACoS in 35 days or magic hack to success. But if you don't explain the why and give the context, brands aren't going to understand how to correlate the outcome that they want with the fundamental management that's required to get there.
Yeah. It's more than just the podium finish.
Yeah.
We've got to talk about the training.
Yes. Amazon advertising still, whether or not it's a large revenue driver for Amazon, it's still a piece to your actual business. It's not the key to success all the time.
Yeah, I think it's really, I think it's so interesting. Yeah, that's sort of like hyper-focus on particular thing, like one particular thing. And for whatever reason, it might just really resonate with someone. You know, they might have heard something two, three, four times, and it became every single chapter of their marketing book.
Day parting is a small one, right? It gets rolled out and across the board you see posts of like, day parting is going to solve every problem you've ever had with your business. And I hop in and 30% of their spend or 70% of their spend is being drawn from auto campaigns. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to fix anything.
I mean, fundamentals too. So I think like bringing it back to this whole idea that it's more complex, the labyrinth has grown over time, that it's more complex. Not only is it more complex, but the nature of being, I think, a talented advertiser or talented marketer, talented brand manager has gotten a lot more deep as well, in the sense of you could really get away with, I mean, at one point in time, you can get away with not running ads at all. And then you can get away with sort of really weak campaigns. And then over time, you know, your competition started to sit up straight. They started to show up themselves. They started to, you know, get up earlier and stay later and started working on their own stuff. And it just became more and more complex. There's more data available to you. And yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned, like, should someone use a software or build an in-house team, get an in-house contractor, handed over to an agency. And I think in like what other industries is this likely, right? Like if you're sick, you like go to the doctor. That's like very clear. If you want to get your house painted, you like get a house painter. If you want someone to like make something with wood, you call a carpenter. There's not this discussion of like, should I go to carpentry school and learn to do it myself? Or should I like hire a part-time carpenter to like work for me? So it's a really interesting thing. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on this question. I have my own thoughts, but I'm curious if you were advising like a friend, and there's different life cycles too. So I'm going to frame this, like imagine you have a friend who started an Amazon product a year ago. And, you know, maybe they're cruising along, they're spending $5,000 a month, you know, their results are fine. And now they're itching to be like, how do I scale this thing? What would be your advice to that person? They've been doing it all themselves up until now.
Well, I would say I try to always make decisions based off first principles. in general, across business, across life, and just consider fundamentals. And I think one of the best pieces of advice I was given as an entrepreneur is keep doing what I'm good at and fill the gaps with support of the rest. I think Amazon advertising is very similar. There's an aspect of it where you need to know the basics so you don't outsource to someone who is just going to take advantage of you, right? You need to have a good understanding of what's going on. In the early stages, I think if you only have a few ASINs, you can manage things by hand. I mean, Amazon has made advertising console a lot easier from the targeting tab, their bid management rules. It's gotten a lot more simple. For any brand that's hitting any level of scale, I almost always recommend a software solution. And almost any agency you work with is going to be utilizing a software solution as well. They're one and the same. I think the real defining factor between like software and managed is the hands-on support you need. Like you and I were just talking, all of my margin as an agency is tied up in human capital. You want to have weekly calls where my team teaches you bid management and explains creative and talks about our strategy, then a managed service is probably best for you. If you want to be hands-off and just focus on optimizing towards a core KPI like ROAS or ACoS, then a software could be a good fit. Maybe you don't need strategy. You don't need someone teaching you what video creatives to run or distributing your budget to scale, right? So I think it is. It's that 80-20. It's going back to the exact same thing we opened this conversation with. Is like, okay, what's the 20% like you're best at and that's going to drive the most value? Keep focusing on that and then build the team to support the rest, whether it's in-house, whether it's software, or whether it's managed.
You know, you mentioned something that I hear a lot, which is an e-commerce entrepreneur should know enough to not be taken advantage of. And it's a sort of idea that's like, oh, if I don't learn the basics of advertising, I'm going to hire someone and they're going to be really bad and waste my money, which is absolutely true. Like that absolutely will happen, probably. Especially if they're trying to find the race to the bottom, the race to the lowest price, right? Absolutely true. And you might not know what questions to ask to ensure you're getting a good service. This might be an unpopular opinion, but I think the principle that the individual entrepreneur should know to hire someone and not be taken advantage of is they should know like business finance. Like that should be their first thing that they know to ensure that they're not being taken advantage of just like, how much are we spending and how much am I generating? And like, is my bottom line going up over time?
Yeah.
And I always feel like I don't want individual entrepreneurs who are like thinking about hiring someone to have that be their only fear and put all the responsibility of like success or failure of like who that person is and like what they're doing to be on the potentially random person that they hire.
Yeah.
I want to back against that and be like, well, hey, you know, you should be sitting down as a business owner every single week, look at how much you're spending, how much are you generating, your split between your advertising revenue and your organic revenue and your total sales. So I always like that component. And I think that's an interesting one that I feel like should get mentioned when we talk about hiring somebody. Because like that's the thing, right? Because I actually think otherwise they're going to fit right into Dunning-Kruger, where like they learn a little bit and they think that might be the entire piece of the puzzle. And then they might be making some like miscalculations of what to do because, you know, they have this sort of component of which, you know, that's this like almost myopia where it's like they think,
yeah,
this is the whole story, but it's actually deep. And it's, I would say the hard thing is really finding someone who knows how deep it is.
Yeah.
To ensure. So it is actually really, really difficult to make that first hire when you've never hired an Amazon marketing person.
Yep.
You've never hired a marketing person. It could be really tricky to suss that out. So my advice to that person is always like, just focus on weekly reporting. Like weekly reporting and like, what are your numbers week in, week out? And like, if it's not good, it's not good. It doesn't matter who that person is or what they say. Like, if it's not good, it's not good.
We were just talking about audits prior to hopping on. And I think that's something that's really valuable regardless of you want to outsource or not. I think it's having the awareness that you may not know it all and to have an audit done. and to get a second opinion on things. Because that's something that we see very often is brand owners are too close to their brand. I have rarely seen an in-house team manage near to the level that my agency can. To be fair, most brands who think their in-house team is doing really well don't reach out to me, right? So I'm only auditing brands who are already concerned that their in-house team's not fantastic. But something that I see is their brands are typically too close to their KPIs. They're too close to what they're running and it becomes personal. Maybe they're running 70% branded. They don't even realize it because their ACOS or ROAS looks fantastic, right? So having an audit and getting a second opinion is so important, whether it's a software, whether you're using an agency. Because like you said, every single one of us from an agency perspective can hop in and find something wrong with an account. It's really easy. You can't be perfect 100% of the time. And the majority of the time, your agency or software is managing towards your expectations. So getting that second opinion, having someone explain to you why they would do something different and how they would make an adjustment is really important. Because on our end, like Michael and I, we see so many categories. We talk to so many brands and see so many insights. So that gives us a much wider view of success. Oftentimes, you know, let's use the Vue CPM example that I gave. A brand owner who maybe isn't as familiar with category performance will run a Vue CPM campaign and be like, turn up that budget to $20,000 a day. I'm running out of 2% ACOS, mm-hmm. right? And they may think it's amazing and they're not going to get a second opinion because it looks too good. But Michael and I know, because we've seen so many accounts, that Vue CPM attribution is inflated, right? So we would know to stay away from that. So maybe the KPIs would look lower, but it'd be in the best interest of the brand. So I think that's something super important to call out. The industry changes too quick, and that, in my opinion, is the value of having experts who have a wider view of success. The industry and the categories change way too quick to stay on top of. So having someone who lives and breathes this is really important. I did have a quick question. I just went on a little bit of a soapbox there. Do you give forecasts when you talk to brands?
I've been asked to before. And I have in the past, with so many caveats and asterisks
yes.
attached to the forecast. And it depends when, right? It depends when, like if somebody's already cruising out there, they're spending $50,000 a month. There's so much data and you can be like, you know what? You're not even running sponsored brands.
Yes.
So like you're spending $50,000 a month on just sponsored products. I feel pretty confident that we can eke out $20,000 of spend on sponsored brands, kicking you up to $70,000 a month in ad spend. And I bet we can do it at a similar ACOS that you're currently at. That's like the easiest thing to do in the world.
Yep. I ask, we've lost two deals this quarter because we refused to give a forecast. Mm-hmm. And I'm really similar. We used to give forecast in 2019, 2020, you know, pre-COVID days where it was a lot easier to forecast, in my opinion, at the time because competition wasn't near what it was now. And there is more CPCs weren't inflated for top of search. I think the value of top of search has inflated the discrepancy between CPCs and placements. Like back then, your CPCs were a little bit stable across placements, so you could forecast sales increase by just pushing higher bids. And now I don't think you can do that near to the extent that you used to. But we lost two deals because of it. And, you know, I was in the same boat. Like I can come to you with a forecast that's made up.
Yeah.
The PG version. We have a child near. But I hate giving forecasts for Amazon advertising because so much is still out of our control. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and I'm not doing full managed service. I can't give you a forecast just based off category growth. You get a poor review or you don't invest in external marketing or something like that. It directly affects my ability to forecast. But also, I think it's a little bit of too good to be true. If someone's coming to you saying that you can grow your sales $70,000 with their expertise, it's too mm-hmm. good to be true.
Yeah.
Don't believe it.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, don't make someone do that. Like don't force someone to do that. You know, it's really, what an amazing colored Stanley cup that
shout out to Simple Modern, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They, Ryan hopped on my podcast and then sent me a cup afterwards, and it was like the best podcast ever because I got a cup.
Yes. Everything should be that color.
If you want to send me a really cool cup after this podcast, I'll make sure to shout it out on my next one.
add it to the budget.
Pencil.
So I think that's, I couldn't agree more. So I think that's really interesting. There are so many known and unknown factors that really the goal is to really, to me, it's always about asking like, what kind of actions can be taken to improve performance? And then how do, like, if we have a particular goal to increase, 10% quarter over quarter, how likely is that? How unlikely is that? And what is the market doing in reflection to that? As well as what actions should we take on a consistent basis to get closer there? So it really is like, to sound like a PPC Zen master, it's really like the journey is the destination. Like, you want to develop a system that will consistently, it's like playing poker, right? Like, any poker player will tell you, as long as I go and play my game, like, I make the same decision based off the same data every time, I know in the long run I'll come out ahead. And to not sort of get distracted as you play, as you do that. Which I think is really important to call out.
I enjoy our conversations because I do feel we have seen a lot and been in the space for so long, and we have pretty similar mindsets about things. So when you say like PPC Zen Master, it is that. Like, we try to always be really transparent on what we see in the space and not necessarily inflate. Maybe 7 years ago, like I said, I was giving forecasts, and now it's like, let's not do that anymore.
Do you feel like any forecast you've ever given was in the realm of incredibly accurate?
I don't know about incredibly. I would say, though, that I rarely had brands come back and reference the forecast. And that's something I struggle with, right? As an entrepreneur, I should be giving forecasts. It's more likely going to close the deal. As an entrepreneur, if I want to close more deals, I need to be providing a forecast. But there's this line of morality that I get caught up on, and that forecasts are a pain because they're never accurate. Like, rarely. I don't care who you are in the space. If you're only managing Amazon advertising and no other aspect of the business, I don't trust your forecast.
Right.
And stop.
Imagine if someone, imagine if someone could accurately predict, like, they would just be, they'd be the most sought after, like, they would never miss, right?
Yeah.
Wow, this person said they're going to grow me 45%, and guess what? They did. And then, like, the next person.
Yeah.
That would be, like, the most insane skill.
Yeah.
This person would be, they would go places and people would be reaching out to them.
The problem is, like, there's a level of, spend and sales allocation, right? Like, we can back into, you're hitting 20% of impression share. If we bumped it up to 40% impression share, here's your sales outcome, right? That part, and that, maybe that is where, maybe you and I are overthinking it. Maybe we need to allow that. But I think the part that trips me up is like the tacos and organic. Like, it is such a flywheel. Your Amazon's directly correlated with your organic. So that's usually, I don't usually get the question of how much can my ad sales increase. I get the question, if I spend more money, what are my total sales going to do? And you can back into some of that with like search query performance, again, an impression share, and get really complex with it. But there's too many external variables. I was curious, what other problems do you see in this space coming up? Like, with, from the software side, is there anything people are asking about or super intrigued with, or you're having to educate more on?
I see all ranges of experience level. And I think that's one thing that in our space is sometimes forgotten. Like, you mentioned VCPM. There's a big percentage of people that maybe this is the first time they've even heard of that, or maybe they have seen it and they never had the time to dig in.
Yeah.
And I think that it's interesting going on LinkedIn, for example, today, or listening to, or even this podcast. This podcast has been going on for almost 300 episodes. And I think that it's really interesting. This conversation is a really good example. Is like, I don't think we would have had this conversation 3, 4, 5 years ago. But basically what I'm saying is, like, it's gotten really advanced. Like, there's people that, like us, to pat ourselves on the back, there's people like us that are super advanced. But one thing I do notice is like there's still a need to better manage match type. So they're and like understand that. So I think like the range of experience levels is actually, if you're only on LinkedIn, like I see, you know, people create magnificent spreadsheets that you can use. There's insane levels of analysis. There's technique that five years ago would be, you know, unheard of. And it's like so advanced now. And there's still people that like may never get to those peaks. So it's like what, so it's really understanding what they need to know.
Yeah.
In order to really be effective.
Yep.
And to help people solve that, I always try to say fundamentals. And, you know, you sort of mentioned too, like, can we track, like, what are the fundamentals? And I really like to preach, like, get your foundations as good as possible. And then you can start to do experimental things. And then you can sort of zoom into to different areas and pull on different strings and see where that takes you. So I'm still a big preacher of fundamentals.
Yeah.
Like, I think if my next podcast was all about match types, that would probably be one of the more popular pieces of content that I would make that quarter, because there's still such a, there is a need for that. And it is still helpful for people.
It's difficult. The majority of my time, I'd say, is on content creation education now, right? I have an amazing team. I don't manage the majority of accounts. I touch one account just so I can stay up to date and continue to be an expert. I spoke at Accelerate, Unbox, Prosper, SellerCon in the last 12 months. And I really care about unique content. I really care about best-in-class content. And that is something that trips me up every single time, is the balance between covering the basics, covering the new things, and not being repetitive. I mean, some of my top posts, I think I did one on Amazon advertising basics and priorities or something. It got 30,000 views. And I won't repost it for like 2 years because I worry that people are going to think that I'm becoming a guru and it's going to dilute my name. But at the end of the day, you're spot on. There's always new sellers. And I am in an echo chamber of everyone else's content, right? Everyone on my LinkedIn feed is typically posting about Amazon advertising. It's what I engage with the most. So I get insecure still to this day. Been doing content for 7 years. I get insecure that my content's too simple if I do match type content, that people only want to follow me for advanced content, or that I posted about match types 3 months ago, so I can't post about it again. Because it's difficult. I tell the team to, you know, post half of your content that's more high level and easier to digest. Post half of your content that's going to get a lot lower engagement, but it's advanced. That's kind of the way that we position it. But the reach for the advanced content is almost always going to be so much smaller. And that's a difficult balance.
Yeah. It's like the Olympic athlete teaching people how to do a warm-up routine, or like some sort of bit, like how to tie your shoes. And I think it's interesting. There's a story of a basketball coach. He like took over an NBA team, and literally for the like the first week, he all they did for like an hour a day was just tie shoes. He taught everyone how to tie their shoes because he said, like, we're not going to have a single one of you get loose shoes during a game ever. And you hear stories like that, like the Super Bowl, the team, Kansas City Chiefs, just won the Super Bowl. And apparently the head coach over there would talk about rules.
Yeah,
like
the overtime rules.
And he just would talk about rules, which is so basic, right? Yep. Like, that's not playing football. That's not like exercise. Like, that's not getting us faster. It's the most boring stuff, 100%. Talking about rules. And it's a sort of a similar concept where, you know,
it's going back to those principles. It's 80-20. It's exactly what we dove into in the beginning, which is kind of funny. We've circled back three times now. Mm-hmm. On those first principles, right? We talked about whether or not to outsource and kind of entrepreneurship there, and like how you need to focus on the basics and what you're best at. We talked about it from an Amazon advertising perspective, like all the shiny things are cool, but back to the basics, and now with content as well. And I think that's such an important foundation. I mean, going back to like something small like AMC, right? AMC is really exciting and really fun to talk about. And this came up multiple times, and I've had a ton of people reach out. And I'm like, you're not even running
$10,000 ESP spend. Like, let's get that cleaned up first. So if anyone takes anything from this podcast, it is like, walk the line between having your fundamentals correct before you ever focus on all the new shiny things that won't make or break your business.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a timeless thing with any topic. You want to do some woodworking, there's going to be like a lot of time spent on just like the basics, like how each tool works and like what you should do to be safe. And all, like, it's the exact same thing anywhere you go. And it's very easy and seductive to jump in to advanced things. And I mentioned like digital marketing myopia. I think that's the cause, right? You sort of opened up by saying like it's gotten more complex. And I think it's difficult to know how it's gotten more complex unless you have a good fundamentals. Otherwise, it looks like, you know, alphabet soup, and you can get lost and overwhelmed and like, well, I have this and that and the other thing. It's like, well, actually, you go slowly and you start with these kinds of things.
A lot of it is the nature of the industry. And I think it's honestly, I don't know if I've talked about it on this podcast, but I have a really strong belief that's like a cultural change, like a societal change. You just think of historically, you know, having a retail business, technology did not change near as quick as it does now. Mm-hmm. So like you had a retail store and you showed up and you did print ads and you made sure you had fantastic inventory. Mass manufacturing becomes a thing and there's not a lot of changes because everyone likes consistency and simplicity. You start layering in the tech we have now and AI, change is insane. I mean, Amazon development team in general has a new rollout every single week for the most part, and that trickles down to us and how we handle the business, right? It's really funny, like most of the large companies and corporations grew their corporations off of heavily, insanely SOP'd systems, right? Every Procter & Gamble, every mass manufacturer built success off of hiring cheaper talent and telling them how to tie their shoes and not giving them any flexibility. Now, our generation in the industry we're in, you cannot do that or else you're always going to be behind to some extent because the industry in itself moves way too quick. Technology is at our fingertips and has caused a rapid rate of change. So culturally, agencies and companies need to change as well. They need to become less systematic for the first time in 100 years. And hire talent that is a little bit more reactive. Again, 80-20, find the balance. Mm-hmm. So you still need systems, but you also need some level of complexity that allows for the reactivity needed.
I would say that most agencies that brands are frustrated with are too heavily SOP'd.
Yeah.
In the sense of too heavily SOP'd, like things change and you need to like really think about scenarios. And SOPs sort of take away the
ability to think,
the retrospection, the introspection, the forethought that's needed to like, what does this brand really need?
Yeah,
that's really difficult to SOP.
Yep.
There's a part of my optimization brain that's like, oh, you should be able to SOP this creativity, but like it's really hard to do, right? You still need to think creatively about it, and that's really difficult to do. So I would say, because like, you mentioned like one thing, another thing that really plagues a lot of brands is like stagnation.
Yeah.
Of just like, there hasn't been a new idea introduced in this conversation about our marketing in a year.
Yep.
And I think that that happens so much. I've recently bought a car and it's so funny. It was the nicest, most pleasant car buying experience ever. And like nobody pressured me, like the price was the price. It was already a good price. You know, like when you buy a car, you go in the back and the business manager is like trying to get you to buy the warranty. And normally it's like such a high pressure thing.
Yes.
Like guys normally like, oh, you don't want to take care of your car. You're not going to protect this investment. There's so many little chips and whatnot that are going to break. You need to insure this. And I go to this guy and I'm just like, no, I've never gotten the warranty. I'm not going to get it today. And he's just like, okay, cool. And just moved on. And I was like, how is this possible? Like, what is the culture of this place? And he's like, it's just the culture that we hire for. And I think that agencies that have too much SOP culture that like isn't trying to hire thinkers
yeah.
gets in trouble that way. Because it's like the same thing. Like you hire somebody that came from like a high pressure sales environment, you're going to put them out on the floor. They're going to like pressure people. It's going to be really hard to untrain that. And I see that a lot of just like, I'll talk to someone and they're like, I gave my team this SOP and like, I'm not getting the result I want. It's like one of the best things that I think an agency or anyone, this doesn't need to be an agency, an in-house person, whatever, is just to really ask the question, like, what new thing can we try on top of our foundation? Or how do we change our foundation? Or how do we do something that's going to push us forward further than we did last quarter? And just like ask this very creative, open-ended question and see what kind of ideas pour in there. And I feel like if you're too heavily SOP'd, your answer is just like too simple
yeah.
to really get anywhere. And I think that's a really interesting question. Like I had a friend ask me this question, like, hey, why is this product doing so well? And it's like number three in this category. Like, how can we make it go even to number one? Because that leap would be big.
Yeah.
And it's a really simple question. And I spent like 4 hours looking at competition, like looking at their setup, doing everything. And it's like that level of creativity is super valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And like you said, it kind of starts from the top. Starts where you're hiring or what agency you're working with and your request and your goals, I will say. Like you said, you have to be able to communicate your own goals as a brand owner.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to reflect who you work with. If you just need to focus on margin and you hire a cheap outsourced agency, you're going to get someone heavily SOP'd. Like strategic thinkers and people with talent in our space come with a price tag. I think the talent shortage is leveled out a little bit due to kind of the acquisitions and mergers and bankruptcies in the space, but first principles.
Yeah, I think that's a really good spot to wrap up this convo. Mm-hmm.
Zen Masters. Really nice. This was PPC Zen Masters. This is a lot less anical than we've gotten in the past.
Yeah, you know, what it reminds me of, I think it was Picasso. He scribbled something at a restaurant in like 2 seconds and someone came over and was like, can I have that napkin that you just scribbled on? I'm butchering this anecdote, but then Picasso goes, that napkin will be like $10,000. And the guy's like, why? It took you like 10 seconds to scribble this. And Picasso goes, it took me 10 seconds to scribble it, but a lifetime to like be able to scribble something like to get this good. Damn, I really butchered this anecdote. But basically, like, yes, it took him a short amount of time, but like, it's Picasso.
Yes.
It's still.
Yes.
Can I finish this call by maybe pointing to your bookshelf? Is there a book that you read recently that you would recommend to people?
I was laughing because my camera's flipped. So Principles by Ray Dalio is a really good book that I think references a lot of what we talked about. And it's kind of like how you build these fundamental principles to get where you want to go. Another one I would highly recommend is No Rules Rules by Netflix and how you create a culture of thinkers rather than rule followers. And their whole concept was, if we hire adults, do we need to put a limit on their PTO or do we just expect them to do their job when they want? And I think Netflix is one of the people that really revolutionized the culture that we're seeing drive success today. So those two are fantastic.
Awesome. I have read the Ray Dalio. I read a lot of Ray Dalio. I follow a lot of Ray Dalio. I've never read No Rules Rules. Cool. Reed Hastings.
It's fantastic.
Right on. Right on. Well, thank you, Destiny. If people want to follow you, I recommend your LinkedIn. Is there anywhere else you think people should check you out?
LinkedIn and the whole Better Media team is the best place for any updates and strategic recommendations, audits, or working with us, bettermedia.com. And then if you want a consolidation of all of the best Amazon advertising industry content, subscribe to our newsletter.
Right on. Well, thank you so much, Destiny. Everyone else? I'll see you next week here on the PPC Den podcast.
Thank you.